This is Audible.
Audible Inc. and Harlequin present The Spiral Path. Written by Lisa Pate Spindler. Read by Ashley Adlon.
Chapter 1. The wormhole, what sailors called the Spiral Path, led to only one of the many dimensions in space-time. Unfortunately, Lara might not be crossing into any of them today. Griffin, your launch slot has been denied, said a voice from Cassini Command. Captain Soto, please report to the Embark Bay Antechamber for inspection.
Inspection? What stuck up those Star Union asses now?
Cameron Rossa, Lara's first officer for the past 11 years, locked down her station and unsnapped her restraints. Lara leaned back in her command chair and clicked her nails on the arm. Those damned royal pains. All her permits were in order, immaculate even. The Griffin's manifest had been logged days ago. Star Union officials could be sticklers, especially out here at Cassini Station. But no one had ever denied her launch before. No one would dare threaten a Creed aristocrat, even one with a reputation as tarnished as hers. Plus, pissing off the Creed Prime Minister by detaining her daughter could destroy diplomatic relations, which meant the Union might have finally given up on peace. Except, like the rest of her crew, Lara wasn't just Creed. She was also half-Terran. In other words, a Chimeran, born of both dimensions. And neither Terra nor Creed trusted the Chimerans. They were unnatural, after all. Lara's stomach clenched and a cold sweat shivered on her skin. Maybe the Union was finally trying to make good on their threat to enslave her and her Chimeran crew. Maybe her days of freedom were over.
Captain, are we going?
Cam stood statue still and patient, God bless her, hands clasped behind her back. Despite walking out of the Union Academy with her over a decade before, the woman had learned her lessons well. No way could Lara let her longtime friend down now. Lara stood and smoothed the creases out of her leather jacket. Outside the viewport, Saturn's rings floated behind its moon, Titan. She glanced at her young navigator. Chandra, you have the con. If we don't return in 15 minutes, blow through that launch bay and rendezvous with the Centaur on Alpha Haven. The ensign swallowed and nodded, but took her command seat without hesitation.
Yes, ma'am.
Lara clenched her jaw. This was the boy's third mission. If anything happened to Chandra, his uncle would kill her.
Expecting trouble?
Cam fell into step beside her.
We're not even transporting anything illegal this time. What's Union's dis?
I have no idea. But activate your wrist sync. Lara kept her gaze trained ahead and pushed her panic away. If the Union wanted a fight, she'd give them one, but not at the risk of her crew. She'd ceased following their orders a long time ago.
We're stopping at the weapons locker on our way.
Mitch stared out at Cassini Station's viewport, at the CS Griffin, the command ship of Lara Soto's little Chimeran Navy. After Lara walked out on him 11 years ago, asking for her help was the last thing he ever saw himself doing, and he'd be damned if he'd ask for it now. No, as a Star Union citizen, Lara would fall in line and obey her duty, or she'd be spending some time in Cassini's brig. To hell with her aristocratic Creed family connections.
Captain Soto and Exo Rossa have left the Griffin, Commodore.
Thank you, Ensign. He nodded.
Dismissed.
Mitch released his tight shoulders and relished the silence. In a few minutes, his ears would be burning with Lara's temper, something that could not have changed much over the years. The last time they'd seen each other, Lara had been none too kind. Called him a slave trader, in fact. She'd abandoned a chance to serve the Union with her Chimeran ability to live in either dimension, an ability that made her invaluable. The Union needed Chimerans to serve as spies and ambassadors, something her brother Rafe had understood, something Lara had rejected. Mitch cleared his throat.
Don't think about Rafe.
Wherever the Creed had imprisoned him,
Mitch would get his longtime friend back. The door chimed. Enter.
Mitch clasped his hands behind his back and faced the entrance. The door faded, its elementary particles shifting out of phase with their dimension and becoming transparent, mutable. The barrier now vibrated at a different temporal frequency. Lara Soto, and no surprise with First Officer Cameron Rossa in tow, strode through the portal. Mitch let out a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding. Did he imagine her step pausing? When she bit her lower lip, as Lara was prone to do when stressed, he couldn't believe over a decade had passed since he kissed her.
Commodore Mishia Yoshida.
She might as well have said bastard for all the inflection used. Like all Chimerans, Lara possessed two different colored eyes, one paler than the other. Hers glinted like lavender ice. Mitch held his ground.
Captain,
all of our paperwork is in order and has been approved by Union Command.
Rossa tossed a holo tablet onto the conference table between them. You have no reason to detain us.
Indeed. This delay is not about paperwork, Exo.
Lara clasped her hands behind her back. A lock of thick ink-black hair, cropped short at her chin, fell forward.
The Griffin is leaving Cassini Station in less than 15 minutes, with or without your approval, Commodore.
And there it was, the sultry flash in Lara's eyes contradicting the steel in her voice. The woman hadn't changed a bit, and the connection he thought severed forever lit up. His palms tingled with the memory of smoothing his hands over her skin as they danced slow in that little Shimtown bar, their favorite bar. Mitch suspected that Lara's passion, however, had long since turned to hate. He couldn't trust her.
Then the Griffin is leaving without its two top officers.
He nodded at the doorway, and two Union security officers stepped inside the small office. Lara glanced over at Rossa.
We're under arrest? For what?
Not under arrest. Yet.
Mitch snatched up the holotablet, logged it into the system's cloud base, and found the document he needed.
Per edict from the Star Union Council, I am conscripting your ship, Captain Soto, as well as your skills and those of your crew.
He held out the holotablet. Lara glanced down but didn't reach for it.
You have no authority over me, my ship, or my crew. We've all renounced our citizenship in the Star Union.
Mitch skirted the table and dropped the tablet in front of her. On his way to the far window, he leaned in close and whispered,
The Union never accepted your renunciation, Lara, and neither did I.
A familiar citrus scent drifted over him. The last 3 feet to the window seemed a marathon, but Mitch made it, and pushed away every good memory he had of Lara Soto. Any minute, her famed temper would show itself, unless he distracted her.
The SUS Interlace disappeared 2 days ago on a mission to Creed.
Lara said nothing. She had no idea how the rest of his news would affect her. He wanted to see her face when it sank in, so he turned around.
Rafe was the top Chimeran on board.
Lara's eyes widened, but she glanced down to hide it. The woman couldn't hide the step back, though, and her obvious sudden desire to run after her twin brother, even if she had no idea where to run.
And my mother? Surely relations with Creed must be strained if a royal went missing on Terra's watch.
No word yet from Countess Asai. We've been sending emergency messages to Creed ever since the Interlace failed to check in.
Lara licked her pale lips.
You want my crew?
For what? The Union wants you, your crew, and your ship, at my command, to hunt down the Interlace. Your little band of pirates has proven to be elusive. If Creed has done anything to our citizens...
We're private contractors, not pirates.
We operate at the behest of the Creed government in trade transactions. Certainly, with a noble house son on board the Interlace, Creed wouldn't...
That noble house son is half Terran and serves in the Star Union Navy as an officer, like you used to.
Mitch faced the viewport.
Who knows how Creed will react? Now, are you going to do your duty or not?
I don't have a duty to you, Michio. Mitch caught his breath.
He so rarely heard anyone pronounce his name like Lara did, with the soft shh in the middle.
How long until she ran again? He looked over his shoulder.
Lara and Rossa each clicked a device on their wrists, and immediately their forms faded.
Damn it. They'd shifted out of phase sync.
He stepped toward them.
What are you doing?
Goodbye, Mitch. You could have asked for my help.
I think you know what to do with that edict.
Mitch lunged for Lara, and he would have caught her if his hands hadn't slid right through her semi-transparent body. The guards reacted too late as well. Lara and her exo walked right out the door, and his life once again.
Lara and Cam leaped through Cassini's corridors as if in microgravity and reached the ship in half the time. It had taken years to devise wrist syncs that enabled wearers to slip out of temporal phase with either Terra's or Creed's dimensions, but not so much that they would fall through walls and floors. Cassini's alarms blared, and Mitch's voice barked out commands at every turn.
So that's it, then.
Lara swallowed past the lump in her throat. The tiny hope she'd held on to all these years that they could be friends wilted. As many different ways as she'd imagined their reunion would be, her running away from him again was not one of them. As soon as they passed the Griffin's cargo bay doors, Cam sealed the launch compartment. Lara yanked open the throat of her jacket and tabbed on the comm.
Chandra, spin up the trans-D engines.
Aye, Captain.
They reached the bridge just as Cassini's launch bay doors closed. Lara took her station and clicked through the status messages. All systems were ready. Just one barrier ahead.
Ma'am, the launch doors...
I see, Ensign.
Release the phase anchors and synchronize wrist syncs on my mark.
No way was Mitch Yoshida, in his perfectly groomed black Union uniform, pulling just so over those broad shoulders, going to get in her way. How many times did she have to prove that to him?
Captain?
Do it, Chandra. We're flying through that door.
On my mark. 3, 2, 1, mark.
Cam anticipated the move, though, and had the anchors ready to let go. With Lara's order, her exo launched the desync cascade, and they each tabbed on their wrist syncs. The Griffin shook, a few seconds only, and the world out the viewport paled like an old Terran photo. As usual, the pit of her stomach plummeted, but not from excitement this time. Lara pushed her feet into the floor and tensed in the command chair.
Come on, girl. Let's do this.
Launch!
The Griffin catapulted through the launch bay. Beyond the semi-transparent doors, faraway stars glistened. The ship sped through, as clean a cut as if it were a just-sharpened blade. Saturn's rings coalesced into shape as Cassini Station shrank to a dot on the horizon. They were free. For now.
Chapter 2
Sensors detect 60% more exotic matter than usual.
Chandra pushed his dark hair out of his eyes.
We need to get out now, or we're stuck in the mud.
The Griffin bucked, its reinforced hull screaming with the need to retain one dimension's phase or the other, while the world around it shifted continuously.
Steady, Ensign.
Lara's stomach heaved as the world tilted, but she hung onto her chair with straining muscles.
Much more, and they would all be pulverized.
She clenched her jaw. Exotic matter kept the wormhole's throat open. The only negative mass particles present should be those the Griffin injected into the wormhole tunnel. Where the hellas was the rest coming from?
Come on, girl, don't let me down now.
A few more seconds and Creed would be laid out before them, the planet's globular cluster a sea of stars.
Thorn compensators are shutting down, Captain.
Cam clicked through the containment parameters.
I've never seen this much negative matter.
Maintain course.
I'm coming, Raphael. I'll be there. I'll never let you down. Even though they sometimes lived in different dimensions, Lara couldn't imagine a world without her twin.
Right now, Raphael could be suffering, broken and bleeding, in the Chimeran sector of a shattered interlace. By force of will, if needed, her ship would get them through, and she'd pull him out of another close call, just like when they were kids. As always, Lara to my rescue. The back of her neck tingled, and fine hairs on her arms stood out. A piercing crack rent the air, and the griffin jerked. Lara's muscles protested the jolt, but she stayed upright as the emergency klaxon blared across the bridge.
Report!
She zoomed through status logs on her station's visual display.
Life support down 53%. Thorn compensators ground to a halt. Any minute the core would shut down when safety parameters were exceeded.
Aft outer hull buckling. Engine 3 operating at 32%.
Damn it. Oh, Raphael.
Shut down the wormhole, Ensign. XO, reboot the compensators and send a buoy to collect a sample of that negative matter.
If all that negative matter destabilizing the wormhole didn't come from the Griffin, then where did it come from? Mitch could be sabotaging her mission, but he needed her help to find Raphael more than he needed to be a hero. Lara needed him for nothing.
Buoy away, Captain.
Cam leaned over her console.
Wormhole destabilization in 3, 2, 1.
The ship shimmied, and a slightly heavier gravity pressed down on them. Normal space-time. Unlike that of Terrans or Creed, Chimeran physiology self-adjusted to either dimension's phase frequency. The wrist sinks sure did make the experience more pleasant, though.
Ensign, how long until the buoy? Captain?
Cam tilted back in her chair.
Commodore Yoshida requests your response on the emergency band.
Ignore him.
Actually, he's broadcasting on all channels now, ma'am.
The world around her was spinning out of control, and Mitch would fix it if she let him. Thing was, he missed his chance 11 years ago, and she sure wasn't giving him another. This was her mess. She'd fix it. Lara forced her jaw to relax and closed her eyes.
Audio only.
She just could not look at him right now.
Captain Soto, report your damage.
Mitch's low voice filled the bridge and its dark timbre turned her insides liquid.
We're fine, Commodore.
No casualties?
No casualties, no injuries.
We're touched by your concern. A pause. What did he expect? When Lara had needed him most, the man had deserted her.
Good to hear. I tried to warn you, Captain Soto. Since the Interlace's last mission, the wormholes have been unstable.
Just unstable? Her ship had almost broken in half.
Do you require assistance, Captain?
No.
Everything is under control.
Good. Prepare to be boarded.
Outside the dark captain's lounge, Titan hovered like a coin in space. Lara propped her booted feet on the small round table, studied the old crinkled photo of Raphael with her and Mitch, and sipped Creed whiskey. She'd never found that closeness again. Leaving the Star Union had opened a chasm even between her and Raphael. As twin children, they'd had their own language and talked every day as adults. But Raphael considered her departure to be a desertion. His inability to understand still kicked her in the gut. The Chimerans needed and respected her, definitely, but none of them offered her a safe haven from the world. Not like Mitch had. When he left for his duty shift the night they argued and she walked out, Lara figured she'd never see him again. The refuge with Mitch had all been an illusion. Lara knew that now, and swallowed her tears with another swig of whiskey. That naive little girl had grown up and knew better than to give anyone else the opportunity to fail her again. Any minute, the cause of that failure, Commodore Mitch Yoshida, would be boarding her ship.
Taking over her ship.
Killing him would, unfortunately, cause a galactic incident. Chimeran murders high-ranking Terran, the headline would read. Then her people would be rounded up in camps for sure. The door chimed. She pocketed the photo.
Open.
The door dimmed, but only the hallway's light shone through the entrance. Time to get this over with.
Stop playing games, Mitch, and get your ass in here.
A sigh, one heavy step, and Mitch Yoshida, the man Lara once expected to spend the rest of her life with, entered her private lounge.
Where are the lights?
Off. Lara dropped her feet to the floor. Whiskey?
Are you drunk?
If only. Lara set the glass down and crossed the room to Mitch. So you've boarded my ship. What now?
Lara, when you left...
She held a hand up and walked to the viewport. No way was she going where he wanted. The past is not up for discussion. She would not argue with a man who believed her indentured servitude was a good thing. What next? She asked instead. Mitch caught her gaze.
We go after Rafe.
Her brother, the only common ground they had anymore. For him, Lara would deal with the demon. How? Do you know why liminal space has been flooded with negative matter?
No, but we can compensate for it. The Griffin has more hull protection than any ship in the Union fleet. Command presumed it would be enough, but maybe with some modifications we can stop.
Modifications? What do you want to do to my ship?
Protect it. And us.
Mitch held out his hands, palms up.
No ill will meant here, Lara.
From her place at the viewport, Lara looked him over. Black Union uniform complete with leather sleeves, belt cinching a trim waist, knee-high boots perfectly polished. Even as plebes, she'd expected that Mitch would look formidable in the Union blacks, and man had she been right. Going by the bars on his lapel, Mitch had indeed followed the plan he originally set for himself. Lieutenant at 20, Admiral at 30, Commodore minimum at 35. Lara ditched the academy when it became clear the Union deemed Chimerans useful only as tools. Those first days had been tough. She'd run to Creed, to her mother, only to find they judged their Chimeran children similarly, as weapons against the Terrans. Mitch leaned on the desk.
I need to run this ship.
You can try, but my crew won't follow a black jacket of any rank. And I haven't consented to anything yet, Commodore. No matter what, you're not booting me out of my quarters. I still own this ship, and you are a temporary guest.
Do you want to get Rafe back or not? If the Creed have taken him or taken the Interlace...
I've maintained a peaceful relationship with both Terra and Creed for over a decade. Creed has no reason to go after Raphael's ship. If they wanted a royal heir such as Raphael to return, our mother could have summoned him.
Creed had no part in this disappearance.
If you can't accept that, Mitch, then you can march off this ship right now. Or I'll throw you off.
Mitch frowned. Fine. I'll accept that Creed isn't involved for now. But if we turn up evidence that implicates them, you have to consider it. Truce?
A truce with Mitch meant that the wall Lara had built around herself might crumble bit by bit. She couldn't go back to being vulnerable, couldn't keep the Chimeran safe if that scared little girl ruled her again. Letting go of what she could never have was what had kept her afloat while finding the money for the Griffin and the Centaur, and while settling Alpha and Beta Havens. Only her people knew the coordinates of those colonies. Even now, Cam was scrubbing and firewalling that information in their databanks.
You don't have to hate me forever.
Mitch narrowed his eyes.
It's more important that we find Rafe.
Lara sat in a chair near the viewport, far away from Mitch. She would set aside her fears temporarily in order to find her brother. What's Raphael to you anyway? He's just a Chimeran tool, isn't he?
You really think I let some Union edict get in the way of a friendship?
Lara poured herself another jigger of whiskey. Why not? You let it get in the way of us? Mitch chuckled, a dry smile that didn't reach his eyes.
You let that edict destroy us, Lara.
That edict conscripted every Chimeran of legal age to military service for 8 years.
It's slavery. You were already in the military.
Mitch threw out his hands, palms up.
Why did it matter?
They didn't conscript all Terrans.
Just those of us who are half-Creed.
Yes. It must be so difficult being able to survive in either dimension indefinitely, while the rest of us have to risk our molecules blowing apart.
Lara replied with only a steely stare.
Mitch sighed. Creed is so much more advanced than we are. How can we not use every tool we have to our advantage?
Lara pushed out of the chair and crossed the room.
That's just it, Mitch. Chimerans aren't tools.
I am not a piece of machinery to be used as the Union sees fit. I guess even now you don't understand the distinction.
He still used the same soap, a musky blend of sandalwood and lemongrass. This close, she noticed the fine lines around Mitch's eyes, grooves starting to show on either side of his mouth. The lips were the same, though, the lower one slightly fuller.
Mitch moved toward the door.
Oh, I understand the difference, Lara. A machine wouldn't be such a pain in my ass.
With that, he tabbed the door open and marched out.
Chapter 3
Thorn Compensator reboot complete, Commodore.
Mitch studied the terminal's display from his station on the Griffin's Bridge. Looking at the clean lines of the command center, he couldn't tell if the ship was of Terran or Creed origin, but noted elements from both. The liquid curves of Creed ships dominated the bridge, and terminals grew out of the decking in fluid lines. But the utilitarian info grid was all Terran. He leaned back in his chair.
Good. Ensign, increase the sensors to the new threshold levels.
Captain?
For the fourth time, Ensign Chandra looked to Lara for confirmation of his orders.
Mitch forced his shoulders to relax. His own XO had reported similar interactions across the ship. Apparently, the Griffin's crew only answered to Lara Soto.
Confirmed, Chandra. Lara propped herself against the bulkhead.
Compensate for the new threshold levels.
She could have settled the problem at any time by ordering her crew to follow Mitch's command, but such a decree would never fall from her lips. Unyielding Lara. The trait he most admired was the trait that had split them up. Over the years, he'd seen the very discrimination she'd predicted crop up again and again. It galled him to see that Lara had been right, but he could never admit it without her ego bursting out the airlocks. She shifted her weight, unconsciously jutting one shapely hip to the side. The woman still had the sexiest curves he'd ever seen, and that captain's uniform didn't hide any of them. For years, Mitch had managed to put Lara out of his mind, but that was easier when the woman was across the galaxy, or better yet, in another dimension. Not so easy when they were on the same ship. So much for thinking he'd put their relationship behind them. Chandra nodded and clicked away at his terminal. The new compensators hummed to life without so much as a shimmy. Lara had built a solid ship indeed. A whole week their combined crew had been working on the upgrades. A whole week with no word from the Interlace. Mitch tapped the screen.
XO.
Rossa looked up from her terminal.
Commodore?
Is the hull plating ionization complete?
99%, sir. Ionization should be operable within the hour.
Perfect. When it's finished, fire up the capacitors and alert me when they're at full charge.
Rossa glanced over at Lara, who nodded her agreement.
Yes, sir.
Enough of this. Lara had permitted Mitch and his crew onto her ship, had granted them access to the Griffin systems. But for 7 days, every single command had to be routed through her.
Captain, a word in private, please.
Mitch marched past Lara. As he turned the corner toward the captain's lounge, he saw Lara push away from the bulkhead. She warned Rossa off with a wave after the XO handed her a holo tablet. What did Rossa expect him to do? Toss Lara into a decompression chamber? If the crew's attitude didn't change, Rossa's fears might come true. Lara followed Mitch into the captain's lounge. His patience had lasted about 5 days longer than she'd expected. He planted himself on the edge of her desk, arms crossed, ready to take her on. Lara sidestepped his long legs,
sat at her desk and started tabbing through the data from the wormhole buoy. Anything to distract her from the coming storm that was Mitch Yoshida.
How can I help you, Commodore?
Start by telling your crew to follow my orders.
Lara smiled and continued to study the holo tablet. They only follow mine because they want to. She tried to ignore his thinned lips and refused to feel 1 ounce of sympathy for the man. This isn't a military ship. I can ask the crew to follow your orders, but I can't make them respect you.
What did you expect?
I guess I should have expected less from a ship full of pirates.
Lara gripped the holo tablet tighter to keep her hand steady. Stray bands of Shimmeran freebooters did exist, but not among her fleet. Besides, if the Star Union's laws had been just, she never would have needed to break them.
We're private contractors, Mitch, and you know it.
Mitch set his hands on the desk and leaned wide shoulders into her personal space.
It's still so easy to get under your skin, Lara.
His voice dropped lower as if he whispered to her in the dark.
I know I'm there when you stop calling me Commodore.
You said you didn't want this to get personal.
His dark gaze swept over her face and lingered on her lips.
I don't. You'll just run away again when it gets difficult.
Lara felt her face flush but held her gaze steady. At least this time I have somewhere to go.
And where is that? I've been sorting through your logs and you've definitely been on some long voyages, but to where? I can't determine.
The data banks have been scrubbed or protected or both. You're not going to discover the location of the Havens.
What are the Havens?
Some kind of Shimmeran paradise? A refuge. A place with no Terrans and no creed.
He'd already learned too much about the Havens.
Only one non-Shimmeran knew the location of the Havens, and that was her father. She'd sent him a message about Raphael's disappearance, but hadn't yet received a reply. If any other non-Shimmeran learned of the Havens' coordinates, she'd have to relocate everyone. Luckily, Mitch's knowledge could only endanger Alpha Haven in Terran space. He couldn't survive long at Beta Haven in Creed's dimension.
That's right.
Mitch tapped a knuckle on the desktop.
You and your crew have defected. You don't claim citizenship with either Terra or Creed. I guess you haven't spoken to Rafe much recently then, have you?
She returned her attention to the holo tablet. Actually, we speak every month and correspond more than that. He didn't need to know that Raphael kept the talk small and never said anything personal, no matter how she encouraged him. Raphael is welcome at the Havens any time he decides to leave the Star Union.
He's a dedicated officer.
My brother, and all the Shimmerans on the Interlace, are sequestered biotools the Star Union takes for granted. A Terran ship would be dead in the water without them. Maybe the Interlace didn't disappear. Maybe Raphael doesn't want you to find him.
The creases around Mitch's mouth deepened.
Don't you dare imply that Rafe is a traitor.
Lara felt Mitch's warm breath on her cheek and forced herself not to look at his lips. Raphael can't betray something he's not.
A mutiny, though.
Mitch snatched the holo tablet out of her hand.
I can't believe you would...
The door alarm dinged, and Cam strode into the room.
I'm sorry to intrude, Captain, but have you examined all of the buoy data yet?
Lara took the tablet back.
Not all of it. Why?
Cam's eyes darted to Mitch, questioning. He sighed and stepped away from the desk. Lara kept her gaze forward.
Go on, Rossa.
The extra exotic matter we noticed? It's from a leak in the Thorn Sagan shell.
Mitch looked at Lara.
Impossible. The shell surrounding the ship is flooded with exotic matter. How could you tell the difference?
Lara scrolled through the report and sat back when she found the reason.
Because it's out of phase. Out of Terran or Creed phase?
Lara gazed out the viewport at an endless starry deep. Where could Raphael have gone?
Both. The matter is out of phase with both Terra and Creed. It's from somewhere else entirely.
That's it. I fold. You win.
Lara set her cards down while Cam gathered up her chips. Outside the captain's lounge viewport, transports came and went at Cassini Station. In 2 days, upgrades would be complete, and they would make another run for Creed, hopefully a successful one. Chandra tossed his cards down and snorted.
You fixed those cards, didn't you, Rossa? You hiding aces up your sleeve?
The XO downed another shot of whiskey and shook her head.
You're just a bad player, Raj.
Cam shuffled the cards. Another round? Lara draped her jacket on the back of her chair. Only if you promise to give me my money back. Cam smiled.
Not on your life.
They played a few more rounds and Chandra lost every one. Cam snatched his cards away.
That's 10 rounds at Artie's you owe me, Raj.
Chandra called over his shoulder as he strode out of the room.
Yeah, yeah. On an ensign's salary. Sure thing, XO.
Her XO laughed, but Lara just watched him leave.
He was barely 10 years old when we landed on Alpha Haven.
Cam cleaned up the table. Don't tell me you're feeling old, Lara. Lara shook herself. How that little boy's life might have been different if she'd never left the Star Union.
No, no, not old, just, I don't know, restless.
Cam set the cards aside and poured them each another shot.
You've done well for all of us. You do know that, right? We all chose this path on our own.
Thank you. Lara swished the amber liquid in her glass. Do you ever miss it? The life we could have had?
Living sequestered on Star Union ships, having to serve twice as long as any Terran and probably at half their pay?
No, I don't miss it a bit. Lara cut the cards, anxious to do something with her hands. We were on a good track, you and me. You'd have made captain by now, if not better. Cam hesitated and bit her lip.
Actually...
Got something on your mind, Cameron? Cam nodded. I do.
I'd like my own command, ma'am.
Lara kicked her under the table.
Don't ma'am me at my own poker table, Cameron Rossa.
I've been wondering how long it would take for you to bring this up.
Well?
Lara leaned forward.
Well, what?
What ship are you going to captain? I can't very well kick Gabe off the Centaur now, can I? Cam rubbed her foot.
I've been working on plans for a third ship.
Of course you have. I'd expect nothing less. A third ship would actually finally make us a fleet. What do you want to name her?
The Sphinx?
Lara nodded. A mythological creature, part woman, part lion.
Perfect.
You are going to wait until after this mission is over, right?
Absolutely.
There's no way I'm leaving you alone with Commodore Yoshida. Lara narrowed her eyes. I can handle the Commodore, Cam. Don't you worry.
Cam laid a hand on Lara's shoulder. I know you can, but I'm not sure he can handle you.
Plus, he's not telling you everything, Lara. I don't know what he's holding back, but it's definitely got him rattled. I don't care what secrets the Commodore keeps. All I care about is getting my brother back.
I always expected someday Raphael would join us at one of the havens.
He will. Don't worry.
Lara sat at the captain's post and flipped open the terminal display. XO, status report, please. All systems are go, Captain.
Lara nodded. Indeed, some of the Griffin systems were operating above established parameters, most notably the Thorn compensators, which on this trip would hopefully maintain the ship safely inside its protective exotic matter shell.
Spin up the Trans-D engines and initiate Horizon potentials. Aye, Captain.
After almost 2 weeks of upgrades, the Griffin was ready to try another trip to Creed. A few words to Cam eliminated the crew's disregard for Mitch's orders, and the remaining adjustments were finished quickly. While part of her relished the crew's loyalty, they had no time to spare. Now Lara could finally start tracking down Raphael. That mission superseded any misgiving she had about Mitch. Even though the friction between the crews had dissipated, Mitch might still kick her out of her own captain's chair during this flight. She'd given ground in letting him take over her ship, but only temporarily. despite her orders to take his lead in the repairs. Lara doubted the crew would follow his overall command. Mitch stepped onto the bridge and paused by Cam's station. In only the few quick glances she allowed herself, Lara noticed his rigid stance and firm jaw. Her heart fluttered from both excitement and fear. The Chimerans respected her, but had no allegiance to Raphael. How far could that respect be pushed? She might have an uprising on her hands if Mitch forced the issue of command.
XO, status please.
Trans-D engines at 100% spin and horizon potentials ready, sir.
Mitch nodded and Lara held her breath. If only the world could stay in this moment, so full of potential forever. She didn't want Mitch to disappoint her again. That heartache she'd packed away years ago would flare. She didn't think she could hide the pain away a second time.
Captain, ready when you are.
Mitch manned the science station behind her. Lara let out the breath and hoped no one noticed.
Ensign, desync the phase anchors.
A few more drags of air and maybe her pulse would slow down.
Aye, Captain. Phase anchors away.
XO, fire up the horizon potentials.
Horizon engagement a go, Captain.
Out the viewport, a horizon vortex twice the size of the ship swirled and coalesced into existence. A giant's eye stared back at them, its iris the cold darkness of a wormhole. Each time Lara saw that gateway, she marveled that half her DNA originated in another dimension. Mitch's warm voice sounded from behind her.
Thorn Sagan shell holding, Captain.
Lara held up one hand.
Launch on my mark. 3, 2, 1.
With a flick of her wrist, the Griffin catapulted forward close to the speed of light and into the eye of the glittering storm. Chapter 4. The pain began almost as soon as the Griffin decelerated to full stop and the exotic matter shell closed around them. A shrieking cacophony ripped through Lara's brain and would probably have shattered her eardrums if she'd heard it with her ears. Instead, the chorus of screaming voices came from inside her own head, and she wasn't alone. Chandra slumped over his station. Cam white-knuckled her terminal with slackening limbs. Lara settled deeper in the command chair and dug her boots into the decking to keep from sliding onto the floor. All the while, the ship's countdown clock ticked away the hours until they emerged into real space. Creed space.
Report!
Lara bent over, hands clasped over her head. The pain drilled down into her brain like a firecracker set off behind her eyes. The pressure jackknifed, her vision blurred and her stomach heaved. She slid off the chair, but Mitch caught her before she hit the deck. They settled on their knees, and he held her upright by the arms.
Lara, what's wrong?
Her eyes watered, and she clutched his jacket.
Can't you hear it?
Mitch gazed around the bridge.
Only your crew is affected.
The ship's blue-tinted light indicated that their trip in the wormhole tunnel was continuing normally and no alarms blared. What the hellus was going on? If the Interlace had suffered this same fate, Lara would not let it happen again. She was not giving up anyone to the wormhole. With Mitch's help, Lara stood on trembling legs. Every Chimeran on the bridge was incapacitated.
Call up your crew!
Her voice sounded raw with the effort to tamp down her screaming ego's protest. Mitch nodded and executed the order. Lara leaned, shaking against the command seat, while medics carted off her crew and Terrans replaced them. She could not help them any more than she could help herself. Every muscle ached and every nerve ending crackled, intimately attuned to the deafening echoes thrashing her brain. Her mind spun with the possibilities of what might have caused this state.
Lara!
The dissonance coalesced into the semblance of a voice, at once a multitude and singular, that twisted down her spine. When she felt a hand on her shoulder, Lara's heart drummed a staccato beat, but her feet refused to move. She glanced back.
Raphael stepped out of the bulkhead wall. The wailing continued, but as Raphael clasped her hand, the discord faded to only an annoying hum. Her twin brother stood on the Griffin's bridge, slim and fine-boned, as always.
"I need your help,"
his voice buzzed around her like a faraway radio signal. This couldn't be happening, was not possible. Lara blinked glistening eyes and squeezed Raphael's hand tight. Her brother felt solid enough, but she could see right through his body. His dark hair and mismatched eyes barely blotted out the bulkhead behind him. Trick or not, Lara wasn't letting her brother go.
"Anything. Come with me."
She stepped away, but Raphael tugged her back.
"I have very little time. I am not alone here, Lara."
She gazed across the bridge, expecting to see the Interlace's other Chimerans. But instead, all around Lara, her remaining crew had fallen, even Cam. The Terrans continued to run diagnostics, but no one noticed Raphael. Even Mitch, who glanced her way, his lips pressed in a pale, thin line.
"What's happened to you, Raphael?"
She pulled him away from the bulkhead, but the man held his ground.
"Why can I see right through you?"
Thoughts buzzed around her, but she could grasp only one. Must get him away from here. Must get him home safe.
"There are others here, trapped like us. The Terrans aren't faring well."
Raphael slouched and his form faded a few degrees.
"I'm trying to send them out first, but they won't let anyone go."
"Who?"
Raphael's grip slackened and Lara jumped closer. The discordant din grew louder.
"I'm losing you."
She couldn't catch her breath. Sweat beaded her neck. Somehow she knew Raphael was leaving, and she was powerless to stop him. Raphael looked over his shoulder at someone or something that Lara couldn't see.
"She's coming. I have to go. I can save them all. Tell Mitch I just need the research."
"Wait, Raphael."
Her brother nodded toward Mitch as he approached.
"He can't see me, but you can trust him. Take another look at the Interlace's comm logs."
Raphael let go and stepped away.
"Raphael, no!"
Lara lunged forward, but her legs gave way. Mitch stepped between them, just as her brother faded back into the bulkhead. The shrieking ratcheted up again, and she grabbed Mitch's arms to stay on her feet. Had to stay on her feet. Raphael needed her.
"He was here. Raphael was here, Mitch. He needs our help."
She searched the bridge for any traces of her brother. She probably seemed nuts to have been speaking to the bulkhead, but she didn't care. Mitch clasped her elbows.
"Come to sickbay, Lara. Maybe this is what happened to the Interlace crew. Maybe a sickness started with the Chimerans."
"No. Raphael's trapped."
Her gaze darted around the room, searching every corner.
"He said so."
Mitch carted her across the bridge, her feet scraping the floor as they went. She locked her knees at the exit and shoved Mitch away.
"I'm not going anywhere until we find Raphael. Send out another buoy."
"Lara, listen to me."
He stepped close and loomed like a boulder in front of her.
"Your pupils are dilated and your phase shifting. See for yourself."
He yanked her arm out in front of her, but she barely sensed it. Sure enough, her arm seemed almost as transparent as Raphael was moments ago. Lara cleared her throat and tried to ignore the worry etching Mitch's brow, the worry swirling around in her own heart.
"If you need me, I'll be in sick bay."
After a few hours of fitful sleep, Lara rolled onto her back and twisted out of the sheets. She clicked through the settings on her wrist sync, glad the device had bought her and her crew time enough to complete the trip to Creed. They still didn't know what caused or stopped the shrieking. The Chimeran's phase shift or Raphael's appearance. Every single one of her crew had heard the voices, but only Lara had witnessed her brother. She swallowed past the lump in her throat.
Maybe seeing Rafe had been a hallucination.
Maybe he was dead.
No. Lara ground her palms over her eyes. Raphael asked for her help. Something about research. Unless someone tried to take her away in a straitjacket, she was going to help him. Even though she tried to dissuade him, after the bridge incident, Mitch had escorted her to sickbay and waited on the doctor's evaluation. The ship's surgeon couldn't tell them much, except that her crew's bodies were shifting in and out of phase. It was Cam who suggested the wrist sinks might help. Lara's wake alarm beeped, but she didn't tab it off. What was the point? Mitch ran her ship, a ship she might have lost control over earlier. The experience could have been the beginnings of a phase contagion that also took the crew of the Interlace. No one knew enough to make any conclusions. Strike that. She could make one conclusion. Lying around on her ass wasn't helping anyone. With a sigh, she pulled herself from bed and showered. Her desktop terminal was blinking when Lara stepped out of the Seni unit. Towel wrapped around her, she opened the message. Mitch's baritone voice filled her quarters, and she clasped the towel tighter. She hadn't been this naked and alone with a man in over a decade.
The buoy data is in, and I've analyzed the sensor logs. Let me know when you're up to a meeting.
Lara scheduled a meeting in 15 minutes and was eating a breakfast of scrambled eggs, her hair still damp, when Mitch arrived. He carried a hollow tablet and joined her at the table. She poured him a cup of tea and took in the dark circles under his eyes.
You haven't slept?
We only have a couple duty rotations left. I can sleep later.
You seem to be feeling better.
I am. The wrist sinks are compensating nicely. You should take a rest duty.
I don't need...
I'm not asking.
You'd do the same if the tables were turned.
Now tell me about the buoy measurements and what you found in our logs. Mitch sipped the tea and pushed the tablet toward